Almighty God, Lord of heaven and earth, creator, sustainer, and eternal joy giver, we draw now our attention to your word as we transition from singing your word to preaching your word and to hearing your word and applying your word. Lord, we want today to hear from you. We together, all of us, would seek to hear from you. Teach us, O God. You are so good to us. We do not deserve this. Oh, Lord, we know who we are. We are the sinners. And yet we have tasted of this lavish grace and this great love that you have given so freely. And we're grateful. And so we pray as we learn and see and discover today that we would more deeply appreciate the gift you've given in Jesus our Savior. That we would never move on from the gospel, that it would be the glory, the song, the joy of our hearts every day. And that as we run this race of life, come hell or high water, suffering and storms, or sunny days like we have outside now, we trust you. We look to you. We need you. And we call out to you. Teach us, O Lord, now. In Jesus' name, amen. John chapter 10, verses 1 through 10 is going to be our text today. We're going into a very important text for a church that has the name Good Shepherd Community Church. Why do we name our church this? It's got a good ring to it. You know, it sounds cool. And by the way, there's no one else around here named that. That's helpful. But just because it wasn't taken, is that why we have it? No. We want to communicate what matters most to us in this place by putting it on our sign. And when you look us up online or when you pass by on the road, we want you to be reminded we exist here for the Good Shepherd. It's all about him. It always has been from day one. And that's what we want it to be for every day forward. The Good Shepherd. We gather as a community around and by and through and for the Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ. And so this is a very special text to me as a pastor of a church called Good Shepherd Community Church. It's not the building, it's the people. This is our church. This is who we are. And the name is significant. So today we're moving into the I am of Jesus when he speaks this word, this definitive and authoritative revelation of his deity. He is not just a man, he is God. And he says, I am the door. I am the door. Now, let's begin with the section where we left off last week, believe it or not, in John chapter 9, because here's the deal. The people that put your Bible together, they're the ones that came up with the numbers and the chapter breaks, okay? In my opinion, there shouldn't be one here. It should still be chapter 9. We should just be moving on down the line because there isn't a break in the text. There is really no break. It just moves on into the next part of the text. And so we need context in order to understand chapter 10. We get that from the last few verses of chapter 9. Remember, the blind beggar has been healed. He's standing here, and the Pharisees are just railing on him. And Jesus says, listen, I am the one. I am the Messiah. I'm the light of the world. And the blind beggar sees him, knows him now, knows his voice, okay, get this? He knows his voice, didn't know his face until Jesus is like, it's me, okay, it's me. And what did he do? He believed. Seeing is believing, and he worships. He worships Jesus. Well, the Pharisees have a huge problem with this. So here they are, verse 39, Jesus says this, for judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who may those who see may become blind. Now, what a fascinating thing for Jesus to say. I came to make blind people see and seeing people blind. We're going to see this play out in our text today. Some of the Pharisees near him heard these things, and they said to him, hey, are we also blind? You can hear the sarcasm, the mockery in their words. Hey, Jesus, are you calling me blind? I'm a Pharisee. I'm a leader of the religious establishment in this place. Who do you think you are? You're calling me blind? And Jesus responds, He said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say, 'We see,' your guilt remains." Now I'm going to glance through this, just try to make sense of these words so we understand them, but the focus is going to be on chapter 10. What Jesus does not mean is that if they were blind, they wouldn't be sinners. The blind beggar was a sinner. What he's saying is, if you were blind, if you hadn't witnessed these things, if you hadn't seen these things with your own eyes, then you wouldn't be held accountable for the things that you hadn't seen, okay? But, in fact, you say, "We see." And they had, in fact, witnessed these things. And they believe that they have eyes to see. And they're calling Jesus a sinner. And so he says, listen, because you say you see, your guilt remains. You are blind. That's his answer. Yes. Yes, you are blind. And the blind beggar, who they have just judged severely, and they've cast him out of the synagogue. He's standing there with actual eyes, and he can see, and he's worshiping Jesus as this exchange happens. I just want to, you just got to feel the tension in these exchanges. Yes, you are blind. Now, chapter 10 makes more sense because this is what he's doing. He wants to illustrate his point. Chapter 10 is spoken primarily to the Pharisees. He's not telling this to his disciples. He's telling this to the Pharisees in the hearing of the blind beggar, the disciples, and a scattering of Jews around, some who believe and some who don't. But primarily, he's going at the Pharisees with this, chapter 10. When you see that, you begin to understand a little bit more of what is being said here. False shepherds and the shepherd. Truly, truly, or listen close. This is a somber reality I'm about to share with you. I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door but climbs in another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Okay, you hear the echo of this context. Blind beggar's like, yes, I know that. I got that. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Now look at verse 6. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, them being the Pharisees, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. Blind. Blind. That's what he's saying. He employs this figure of speech. He speaks in what you could call a parable, although the word itself doesn't mean parable. It's more like a simile here. A parable is more like the kingdom of heaven is like. It's a comparison. That's a parable. This isn't that. This is more just a kind of a simile. He's telling a story. And the Pharisees are like, what are you talking about? What is that? And the blind beggar is like, absolutely. Okay? So in doing this, Jesus wants some to hear and not hear, to see and not see. Others will hear and understand, see and actually see, spiritually speaking. That is the nature of the parable, the nature of the figure of speech. Let's look at this. Now you see on your sermon notes, I've just listed a number of blanks for you to fill in as we go down the list. There's a number of different aspects to this story that we need to ask and kind of explore a little bit. And I've got my shepherding experts in the back row. And so I'm held accountable here, okay? So I don't own a sheep. You guys own a lot of sheep. But just give me a nod if it's ringing true here, because this is fascinating stuff. Sheep and the shepherd. You have Jesus contrasting false shepherds and the shepherd in this text. He wants to draw a contrast between what is false, Pharisees, and what is true, Jesus. And this is what he says. There's a sheepfold. And he says, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door but climbs in another way, that man is a thief and a robber. Okay? What I built here is a miniature sheepfold. This is a miniature version of a sheepfold. In this day, typically in the village, there would be a common area near the middle of the village. And just be reminded, there was a massive focus on shepherding and flocks and livestock, and that was the currency of the day. In many ways, you were rich if you had animals, similar to those who went with us to Uganda, right? That man has many cows. We say that dude's a millionaire because he has actual money, paper. These deal in sheep, okay? So in the middle of town would be built a structure like this, maybe up against the side of a house, and then a wall would go around. And it was the common sheepfold for the village. And the shepherds at the end of the day would bring all their sheep, and they would stick them all together in the sheepfold. They would all enter in. Here's my little lamb, Woolly. Okay, there he is. Now, stay put. They would mix all the sheep in together. Think of this. And then they would go, and the gatekeeper would close off the entrance. There's only one entrance, okay? This right at the front. The gatekeeper would close off the entrance, and he would guard the sheep, protect the sheep, keep them in there, and not let anybody in. Okay, this is currency. This is basically like a bank vault. Think of that. It's got one door, and it's guarded. It's secure. The problem is, we know bank robbers exist, don't they? And they rarely come in through the door. They like to find a way around. And so Jesus says, if you don't go in through the door, you're a thief and a robber. So under the cover of darkness, there would be those scoundrels and thieves who would seek to tear down part of the wall and climb in and reach in and grab a sheep. Or what I read is sometimes they would go in with a knife and they would kill a few sheep in their sleep so they wouldn't make noise, just, you know. And then they would chuck them over the wall and sneak away. Thief and a robber. Anyone who does not enter through the door is a thief and a robber. Okay, we're all like, okay, this is not really making 100% of sense at this point, but there's more. So you've got your thieves and robbers, you've got your gatekeeper, okay, and then your shepherd. Sorry, I'm going fast here. Did you need me to back up on your notes there? Thieves and robbers, and then the gatekeeper. He stands there and keeps the gate. Sorry, Gracie, I'm going fast. And then the shepherd, okay? Now, watch what happens in verse 2. He who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. He's the shepherd. Here's what happens. The gatekeeper has guarded the sheep all night long and sought to keep them, you know, from killing each other and from anyone else getting in and any wild animals or anything. And the shepherd comes then in the morning. And he knows the gatekeeper, and the gatekeeper opens for him the gate. He walks in unimpeded. He's not a thief or a robber. He has sheep to gather. And so he walks in. What does he do? Verse 3, to him the gatekeeper opens. Now watch this. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name. He calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. Now, I want you to think about this here. There's all these sheep from all these shepherds all mixed in. What a mess, right? Actually, no. The shepherd would walk up, and just talking with the gatekeeper alone would be enough for these sheep to perk up. They hear the voice of their shepherd, and they know him. And then, beyond that, he calls his own, underline that word own, his own sheep by name. He doesn't just say the sheep of, you know, Jeremy Pickens, everybody come, you know. No, he's going in and he's saying, Wooly, it's time to go, little guy. Come on, come with me. And he leads them out. Come on, Wooly. All right, now wait there, let me get the rest. And then, you know, Bill and Frank and Tom and Betty and whatever their names are, you know, Spot and whatever. And he's leading them out. Look at the relationship here, okay? He calls them by name, and he leads them out. And he leads them out. Now, does he take all the sheep? This is important for us to notice. He doesn't take all the sheep. He only takes his own. Otherwise, he would be a thief, robber. He takes only his own sheep, and he calls them by name, and he leads them out. So he has his sheep, and then there are sheep that remain. Now let's read on. When he has brought out all his sheep, all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep, they follow him, for they know his voice. Okay, so he takes the sheep, and rather than doing this, leading them in front, okay, watch what he does. He gets in front. All right, guys, let's go. Let's go get some food. Come on, let me lead you to water. Green pastures await. And you know what they do? They follow. They follow his voice. He leads, they follow. All his own. What an incredible thing to think about. Why do they follow? Well, they know his voice. They know his voice. I want you to think about David, who was a shepherd. He was a poet shepherd. When God gave David the gifts that he gave him with music and lyrics and song, where do you think that gift was developed and really fanned into flame? It's when he was all alone with the sheep. Okay, now picture this. The sheep know the voice of the shepherd. If I am one of David's sheep, what would I love? I would love to hear his heart sing. I would love to hear the words of his song. He would sing and sing to the Lord, and the sheep would have just loved this. And so I think more than just, okay, go over here, time to do this, time to do that, stand up, lay down, eat, come here. It's also the heart of the shepherd in just being communicated in day-to-day living, right? He's walking out up the hill, singing praise to God, and the sheep are following along, happy to follow and listen and bask in his presence. They're close, they're safe, they're with him. This is awesome. Now, a stranger comes in. Let's say I walk up and David is here and he's singing to his sheep, and I say, try to copy his call. You know, sheep, come here. Kind of sounds like what David maybe, no, sheep, come here. I try to imitate the shepherd. You think the sheep are going to fall for that? No way. They know. They know the voice of the master, and they can tell imposters, frauds, and fakes. Something wrong here. What do? They flee. They don't run to, they get away. They run away. Now, what in the world does all of this mean? We talked about the sheep there. What does this mean? Well, let's go through an explanation. I believe this is what's happening here. The question comes, who are the sheep in the sheepfold? This initial sheepfold, I believe, is the Jewish people. We're talking about Israel, the nation, the chosen people of God. Chosen out of all the nations, Abraham, I will make of you a great nation. You will be my people. You're my covenant people. God has chosen the Jewish people to be his chosen ones. And here's the sheepfold. Now, Jesus came as the Messiah, first and foremost, to the Jews, correct? He came to save the people that had been chosen of old, the covenant line. Here's the problem, though. Some heard and rejected. Some heard and they heard nothing. Some saw and they saw nothing. Some saw and they wanted to kill Jesus. He came to his own, but his own received him not. And so, Jesus goes into the sheepfold and he begins to choose his own sheep. He calls them by name and he brings them out. Does he get all of the sheep? No, he doesn't. He calls them by name, his own sheep, the chosen among the chosen, and he leads them out to life. This blind beggar, my friends, was one of those sheep. He came to seek and save the lost. He came to gather his sheep. Out of the fold of Israel, there were those who would believe. Those who, when they heard his voice, would say, Savior and Lord. Now, you see both things in view here. You see divine sovereignty at work. He knows their name. He knew their name because God the Father ordained that their name be written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the ages began. Who's the Lamb? Jesus. It's the Lamb. It's His book, the Lamb's Book of Life. And so He knows their names. And He comes to save them, to seek and to bring them out and to gather them. Now note this word. Note this word. Where is it? Verse 4. Let's go to verse 3. The sheep hear His voice. He calls His own sheep by name, leads them out. When He has brought out all, when He's brought out all His own, that word all should call back to us John 6, the bread of life. All that the Father has given me will come to me, and all that come I will never cast out. Right? And so the number is set and fixed, and He goes in and He knows their name and He draws them out. Woolly, come here. Come here. Come. And life happens. It's an amazing thing to see. Who are the thieves and robbers then? Answer: anyone who does not come through the door. Who's the gatekeeper? God the Father. God the Father is the gatekeeper, and He is standing at the gate, and here comes false teacher, false shepherd, and they say, we want to gain entrance to the sheep. And He says, no, you do not qualify. No, you fail to meet the standard. No, I have not appointed you. And so what do? They go around, and they scale the wall. The Pharisees were not appointed to rule and reign like they were doing. They had written their laws, and they were running the people. They were not treating them like a shepherd would care for his sheep. They were hard with them. They ate them. They fed on the sheep. That's what they were doing. And Jesus is calling them out. You're thieves and robbers. You didn't even go through the gate, the door. Your interest in the sheep is not for the sheep. And you hear the echo of their words. You were born in utter sin. And you would teach us. He says, that just happened. And here is the sheep standing next to Jesus who's just been saved. And he worships the shepherd. Okay, so we have a question then. If the chosen people of God are in the sheepfold, what about us? What do we do? Where do we come in? Because we're not in that group. Most of us here, I know most of you, we're Gentiles. We're not among the chosen people of God, Israel. So what hope do we have? We'll go to verse 16. We're going to get there in a couple weeks. I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. That's us! He's talking about us right there, John 10. Awesome. Awesome. So we, like this blind beggar who was led out of slavery and darkness by Jesus Christ, given access by the Father, the gatekeeper, who came in, he qualified, he was the sinless sacrifice, all of his life and his atoning death gained him access, appointed by the Father, everything that the shepherd needed to be, Jesus was. And he was given access to get his own sheep and call them out. And guess what, my friends? We will stand next to the blind beggar someday and sing the praise of the great shepherd who brought us out in exactly the same way. What an amazing thought. One flock, one shepherd. So the Pharisees are thieves. They come in to steal and kill and destroy. He brings out all his own. Important that we see that word. There is no one that God sets to save that is not saved. If he chooses to save you, you will be saved. That's awesome. That is awesome. And when he sets his covenant love on you through the blood of his son Jesus Christ and he saves you, you will be raised forever. It's not in question. God is not powerless to accomplish what he sets out to do. He will raise you, believer. He goes before them. I want you to think about this, Christian. There is nowhere in your life that you go where the shepherd hasn't already been. He leads us. He's in front. So even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, what? I will fear no evil. Why? Because you're with me. You're with me. And Jesus can always say, I know. I know what it's like. I've been there. Rejected by men? Yeah, I know that. Tempted by Satan? Yes, I know that. Experiencing the frailty and the struggles of this earthly flesh, this body, this failing flesh that we have? Yes, I know that. Now, Jesus had no sin nature, but he was tested and tempted in every way, and he never sinned. Total obedience through the power of the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that we have. It can be done, he says. I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm with you. I think that's such an encouragement. Anybody here who's going through a tough time, just know this. He leads you. He's out front. He's never surprised like we are. He saw that coming. He's in control. He has a plan. It's going to be okay. They follow him because they hear and they know his voice. They know his voice. Christian, I would ask you this morning, believer, do you know the voice of the shepherd? Is it what you pursue each day? Are you listening for his voice as you walk through your day? How does he speak? My friends, right here. Right here. I heard recently someone was saying, oh, I just want to hear a word from the Lord. I just want to hear from him out loud. And the response was, well, read your Bible out loud then. That was perfect. You'll hear from him out loud. Read out loud. This is his word. This is his voice. And we are his sheep. So listen and follow and treasure. Here's the thing. Just like David led his sheep. This hit me big this week as I'm thinking about King David. And his sheep must have treasured his song. And we have the song. Every page is the heart of God. Every page shows his likeness, his character. Who is he? Answers right here. That's who. What does he love? Right there. That's what. What's he like? What's his heart? One of the coolest things is to read Psalm 23 and think that David wrote that all those years before John 10 was written. And then you think about this. Jesus wrote it through David. That's cool. Jesus is the author. Jesus authored that psalm in the heart of his shepherd, King David. And then he fulfilled it by showing himself to be the shepherd, the true shepherd. They will not follow a stranger. My friends, there are many, many voices in our day that call for us to follow. Many false teachers, many false shepherds, they abound. And sometimes they abound from within churches. They come up and they say, follow me, follow me. Here's what they want. They want to feed on the sheep. They want to take the sheep and employ the sheep for their own gain. They don't love the sheep. They want to steal, kill, and destroy the flock. And so we must be a discerning people. The more you know the voice of the shepherd Jesus, the more quickly you can spot the fakes and the frauds. Don't be so quick to run to Hollywood and expect this to be held high. Don't be so quick to turn your TV on Sunday morning and think, if this is never mentioned, that you heard a word from God. You might have heard a word from a false teacher, from a false shepherd, from a wolf who would seek nothing less than to steal and kill and destroy your soul. Be discerning, sheep. Be discerning. know his voice. Listen to him. Seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear. The Pharisees are shaking their heads. We don't know what he's talking about. We don't get it. And Jesus is basically like, that's my point. You're blind. You're blind. You're more blind than that man was before I made his eyes see. Now, we transition to the last few verses here. There is a significant change, and we've got to be reminded here, especially if you're struggling to connect the first six verses with the last three here, they're difficult. Or four, the last four. You've got the door of the sheep now. Now, there's a change that takes place, and I want to try to show you what that is. Let me read these verses. So Jesus said to them again, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am." Now here's the I am. I am, ego eimi, I am, it's me. I am the door of the sheep. I'm the door of the sheep. All who came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and he will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. What an amazing thing to hear Jesus say these words. It's my prayer that as you hear that, joy springs up from the bottom of your soul. And you hear that and you say, yes, that's what he is for me. Yes, he's my joy. That's what he is. He's my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. There's nothing around here that comes close to him. He's my treasure. I want to show you a picture of a different kind of sheepfold. Now, there was one in the city, a big one, where all the sheep would go. There was a different kind of sheepfold. I believe this is the one that would have been employed the night that the shepherds were out in the fields keeping watch of their flock by night. It's one of these, I believe. This is a picture from a hillside sheepfold. This is a pretty large one, but note, here's the door. Here's the door. It's simply an opening. There's no wood on it, no hinge or anything. It's an opening. Jesus says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. He will go in and out and find pasture. When a shepherd would take his flocks out of the common sheepfold in the village, he would go out on the hillside, and many times they would spend days and days, weeks out with green pastures and quiet waters and looking for food and these things. They would be out away, and the shepherds would be dirty and smelly, but they're with the sheep. What do they do at night? How do you protect your sheep? Keep the wolves away and that which would come to attack or to steal and kill your sheep. Well, you build one of these out on the hillside. And so Jesus says, listen, the sheep, my sheep, I put in here. But here's the deal. I am the door. Now watch how this goes. I'm going to try my best to act this out so you can see this. Here's Wooly. He's one of mine. I know his name. He belongs to me. I've brought him out of the common sheepfold, out of darkness, and I'm bringing him into my sheepfold. Okay? Now, when Jesus says, I am the door, this is what shepherds who slept out with their flocks by night would do. This is what they would do. They'd get all their sheep in, and then they would lay down, just like this. They would sleep there. Okay, you get the idea. Jesus is the door. He's the door. You see the door? It's Jesus. It's the shepherd. He's not only the shepherd. He's the door. And when he says in John 6, all that the Father has given will come to me, and all who come to me, I will never cast out. I will not lose any of all that he has given to me. This should come to your mind. A shepherd who lays a cross where the sheep are being kept. He's keeping the sheep. He's keeping them from the enemy. He's keeping them from anything that would seek to snatch them out of his hand. And how does he do it? He lays his body down to protect us, to save us. Do you see that word? Anyone enters by me, they come in by me or through me. If they come through me, they will be saved. The word there means safe. Safe. It doesn't stop there, however. It's not just that we're safe and held secure forever. It's that when we get hungry, when we get hungry or thirsty, we can go in and out. And we can get some green grass. And if there's any threat, whew, right back in where it's safe. We are in the care of the shepherd. But friends, here's the deal. There is only one door. And his name is Jesus. There is only one Savior. And his name is Jesus. There is only one way to have peace with God. It's through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is the shepherd and the door. And the door. And so I would ask you this morning, oh, and the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus says this, I came that they may have life. The sheep, my sheep that I came for, I came that they may have life. Any life? Just normal life? No. Abundant life. Abundant life. The world knows nothing of that if they know nothing of Jesus. Jesus is what the world needs. Jesus is what you need today. Response this morning, just two thoughts. Do you know the shepherd? Do you know the shepherd? Can you say, like King David, as he wrote Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd? Not a shepherd just out there, but my shepherd. Have you heard him call your name? Maybe this morning he's calling your name. Maybe you're here and you hear this Jesus who was born without sin, who lived without sin, who stretched out his arms to show love, a love the world had never known, by laying down his life, a perfect sacrifice, the innocent lamb bled out and paid for your sins and was buried, and then after 3 days rose from the grave, and he calls now his sheep, come follow me, come believe, come be mine. Do you hear him call? Is he calling your name? Is he tugging on the strings of your heart and saying, it's time. Enough wandering in the dark. Enough trying to find green pastures by digging in the dirt of the world. Come and live. Come and be free. If you believe, you will be saved. You will be saved. The shepherd is the door. Let's pray. Lord, as we consider this incredible revelation of you and your Son, Jesus Christ, we live in a world, Father, that is so full of false shepherds, ramps over the wall, easy ways, they say, to have life. And all of them are false. And the mirages in the desert, there's nothing there. Clouds without water. And Father, we think about Jesus and we know that he is the shepherd. He is the way, the truth, and the life. We know that there is no access to the sheepfold except through him. He is the only way. Oh God, impress that upon us today in a new way. Help us to see this sheepfold with only one door. Help us to see this Jesus who would humble himself and lay his life down across the door to keep us, protect us, to love us, and be with us in such an intimate way that we can know the King of Kings like that is a mind-blowing thought. And Lord, if there are any here today who cannot say with confidence, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want," I pray right now, O God, through the power of your Holy Spirit, that you would call their name. Call them. Help them to listen to your voice and respond. Help them to come. Enable them to respond to your call and bring them out of the darkness and into your marvelous light, and do the work that only you can do. Apply the shed blood of Calvary to cover their sins, everyone, past, present, and future. Breathe into them life eternal. And then hold them securely forever. Lead them, Lord, to green pastures and quiet waters. Restore their soul. If you're here today and you long to know the shepherd Jesus in this way, I would just call you, respond to his call and follow. Believe, repent of your sins, and run to him and let him be the shepherd of your soul. Make him the Lord of your life, the treasure of treasures. And you will live. You will have life eternal. You will be called one of his own. God, for those of us who know by your grace that we are your own, through Jesus Christ, we have been called, given life and forgiveness, and set to follow our shepherd Jesus. We are so thankful for this. Help us to be listeners to his voice more and more. Help our Bibles to be open to hear the song of the shepherd ring in our soul. Help us to pay attention to his commands. They're life-giving. They're for our good. Help us to love the shepherd more than ever today. In Jesus' name, amen.